Thanks, Ray.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
All the Rays, good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts and for your emails, ray@rte.ie. Good news stories take sting out of negative ones. Aha! We have to send this across to our colleagues in the newsroom. So it seems that news stories that report on the best of humanity can help take the sting out of negative news. A study found that people who saw news about human kindness after news about a terrorist attack or other immoral acts felt fewer negative emotions and retained more belief in the goodness of humanity compared to people given just the bad news. So, of course, you know, most news that we hear on the news is bad news. And sometimes I think the "and finally" at the end isn't enough of an antidote to sort of cleanse our palate, if you like, from the bad news we've heard. And I think the narrative is wrong, because the world isn't like that. If you were to believe the news, if you were landing on Earth from a different planet and you just listened to the news, you'd think this was a horrible place and that all mankind were just terrible human beings involved in awful acts of violence and inhumanity to other human beings. But that's not the real world. That's not the real world. So change the narrative. We had that guy on, Rutger Bregman. He wrote a brilliant book called Humankind, A Hopeful History. And in that, he tried to change the narrative that actually his belief is, and he had scientific proof to back up his belief, is that our default position is to be nice. And he went through various different scientific experiments that tried to prove the opposite, and he deconstructed them and proved them wrong. And he explains all the badness as well. Why does that happen? He explains that as well. So I remember reading that about 3 or 4 years ago, and it changed my view of the world. And if you have that in your head, that most people are nice, that most people are kind, then it changes your view of the world, and you go float around a little bit better than listening to the news and going, So there, good news stories take sting out of negative ones. So if you have any good news today, share it with us. If it's the birth of a son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, if it's the passing of a driving test, that's always good news, isn't it? And the more times you've tried, the better the news it is. So if you've been attempting to pass your driving test for the last 11 years and succeeded today, we'd love to hear from you. Or if it's just something that happened in the garden, the emergence of a lovely, beautiful blossom of a flower, or whatever it is. Any little bits of good news. We want to cleanse our news palette here, get rid of all the bad stuff and bring on the good stuff. So 51551, ray@rte.ie. What's your good news today? Good news for fans of Harry Potter, because all 8 Harry Potter movies are now available on Netflix. First time ever. So if you're a fan, you've probably seen them before. But if you're a fan, you probably watched them numerous times and you may have had to pay for them up until now. But now, if you have a Netflix subscription, you can watch them all there. FOC. Well, it's not really FOC. It's, you know, because you paid your subscription, but they're there. And in AI news today, as in artificial intelligence, Sting, him being the man who was the lead singer in The Police, he's due to receive a fellowship at tonight's Ivor Novello Songwriting Awards. He's 71, and he's the 23rd fellow the Academy has inducted over its 79-year history. And he's in stellar company there, like Paul McCartney, Kate Bush, Joan Armatrading, Peter Gabriel, Elton John. Anyway, so he's been interviewed and he's been asked about, you know, the music industry. And he's specifically wanted to comment on AI and how it's been used in music. And he says, the building blocks of music belong to us, to human beings. That's going to be a battle. We all have to fight in the next couple of years, defending our human capital against artificial intelligence. The tools are useful, he says, but we have to be driving them. I don't think we can allow the machines to just take over. We have to be wary. He says, it doesn't impress me at all. I get immediately bored when I see a computer-generated image in a movie. I imagine I will feel the same way about AI making music. Maybe for electronic dance music it works, but for songs, you know, expressing emotions, I don't think I will be moved by it. And I think I'm with him on that one. And we say good luck to Fontaines DC. They're nominated for an Ivor Novello Award tonight, as is Johnny McDade, him of Snow Patrol, because he co-wrote Shivers and Bad Habits with Ed Sheeran. That's a nice job, isn't it? co-writing with Ed Sheeran. Anyway, good luck to all of them, and good luck to Prince as well on that. Now, the email thing, Majig, was busy overnight. Carmel has been on. She says, you mentioned herons on your programme on Wednesday. Yes, we did. It was Hungry Henry the Heron, who's been spotted around Ringsend in Dublin. Anyway, as I was driving home from Tymon Park North, I photographed a young heron catching and eating lunch. He was there again today with a larger prey. Usually the herons eat little sardine-sized fish, and I was fascinated by the whole process of watching him catch and eat his prey. You'll either love or hate the photographs. We love them, Carmel. That's nature. That's nature doing what nature does. He has to go where she has to go and feed herself or himself, and they eat fish. Raw fish. Like, if you thought of that as sushi, then it becomes a completely different thing. Manus has been on from Donegal. He says, listen to your show on my daily walk today, and in particular your comments on the Eurovision. How about, says Manus, everybody has an opinion, everybody has a way that we might fix the Eurovision. Manus's suggestion is this. How about a song contest on a county-by-county basis for a particular national charity, for example, Alzheimer's Society, who have an administrative support and fundraising network in most counties? This feeds into a provincial song contest and eventually an All-Ireland final. Would give a great platform for local songwriting and performing talent, would generate local and national interest, would be a huge fundraising opportunity which would attract sponsorship and the interest and participation of local and national radio and TV, and would attract voters from all over Europe to the eventual winner. Regardless of how the song did in Eurovision, it would bring on our music industry and culture. A win-win situation for Ireland. Just a thought, and thanks for provoking it. I remember we talked before as a radio show about, you know, partnering with the Eurovision people and doing some sort of a nationwide search, that we'd go and we'd have four provincial finals, you know, of an evening. And then you'd have a national final that could be in Studio One here in the Radio Centre or on the telly. And then you'd send the eventual winner off. And I suppose that's what Eurostar did back in the day. And we had Mickey Hart out of that, and Don and Joe, and others. And we sent them to the Eurovision with little success. Anyway, thanks for that, Manus. Thanks for that. Jerry. Now, Jerry, this is the final word, OK? It is the final word. Jerry in Care in County Tipperary says, just a final word on Eurovision and songs that were very similar over the years. You mentioned Loreen's winning song, Tattoo, being similar to ABBA's The Winner Takes It All. Yes, we did. And just to prove it again, Jerry in Care, County Tipperary. That's Loreen, and this is ABBA. Now it's history. Come on, lads. Come on. Stuart's Inquiry. If I was Finland, I'd be up in arms, cha-cha-cha arms. Anyway, Jerry goes on to say, congratulations, sung by Cliff Richard in 1968, finished second. But there was controversy at the time over its chorus being similar to Doc Carroll and the Royal Blues, Far Away From You, a song I'd never heard of until today. Jerry, have a listen yourself and see what you think. So, here is congratulations. Came second, 1968.
Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me.
Yeah, if you've ever been at a 21st engagement party, wedding, whatever, you'll be familiar with that song, co-written by Phil Coulter. So that's that one. And Jerry says, very similar to Far Away From You by Doc Carroll and the Royal Blues, which predated Congratulations. Let's have a listen to that.
Well, if you find me, yeah, baby, you'll be lucky.
And I don't want to know that you're in love. Yeah.
Congratulations. Well, if you find me, yeah, baby, you'll be
lucky. Yeah, it's been going on for years. Thanks for that, Jerry. There was no big court case over that. People with red hair wearing suits, interviewed on a footpath in New York. None of that sort of thing. Now, your good news today. Flying to Seville in Spain tomorrow for a weekend break. Good news to you, Sean, or even John in Mallow. Thanks for that. A positive thing to do for yourself is to create a gratitude book. Very good for mental health. That's Barbara. Yes, an attitude of gratitude. A lot of these self-help books suggest that of an evening, before you go to sleep or whatever you're doing, that you write down three or five things that you are grateful for that happened to you that particular day, or that are in your life. It's supposed to be very good for your mental health. After 30 years of dreaming of going to New Zealand, I'm happy to report that I'm just back from nearly a month there. A dream come true, and I'll die happy having been there and meeting lovely people. Amazing, says Maeve. Well done, Maeve. Good news story. Sanctuary Runners will have 400 people running in Cork City Marathon on June 4th. That's Graham Clifford there. We need more people to run alongside and in solidarity with refugees and asylum seekers, now more than ever, I suppose. Walk or jog 10k. Be sound. That's Graham Clifford, Sanctuary Runners. Thanks for that. CorkCityMarathon.ie. Sign up and run in solidarity with the Sanctuary Runners. I have to get two buses to work. I got off one bus and the other bus was at the stop waiting for me. Ah, it's the little wins. I thought it was a mirage. Simple good news, says Pauline. Thanks for that. And I've just finished writing a new Christmas song. All will be revealed in December. Can't wait, Trish. Can't wait. It's hard to break through with a Christmas song these days, Trish. Maybe if you got it to us early, we could play it and build up a head of steam for you. 51551ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. And keep those good news stories coming into us. Please, please, please. Go with Roisin Murphy on vocals. Sing it back. I'd forgotten how good that song is. 51551ray@rte.ie. Paddy and Tala's been on with his good news. When I wake up in the morning and put 2 feet on the floor, it's a great day, Ray. Thanks, Paddy. Stephen has been on as well. All the laundry done. The house feels fresh for the weekend. That's Stephen. And anonymous texter says, dinner with the girls tonight. Much needed. For a good old natter, I suppose. It's my sister's birthday. Marie in Firhouse in Dublin. This is my good news. Well, her good news too. Happy birthday, Marie in Firhouse. And Ray, there's a gentleman who brings a tin of sardines to the Heron near us every day. That's very kind of him. That's from Pauline. Heron news and good news to 51551 or ray@rte.ie. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, so two quizzers, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get two. And if you answer with a clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point for a correct answer. And there is a prize. And it's a two-night stay for two adults and two children in a lodge at the Fota Island Resort, nestled at the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery, just 8 miles from Cork City. Pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer with Fota Island Resort. Enjoy complete privacy and five-star luxury in one of the exclusive 2, 3 or 4 bedroom self-catering lodges. Perfect for families, groups of friends or fellow golfers. FotaIsland.ie, FotaIsland.ie. Here's your qualifying question. On this Thursday afternoon, musician Sting has spoken out against AI. Was he in The Police or The Mountain Rescue? Musician Sting has spoken out against AI. Was he in The Police or The Mountain Rescue? 0818 715925. That's 0818 715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm a teacher in North Dublin. Today was last day teaching 6 years. And the amount of lovely cards, kind, thoughtful messages, funny memories, just so heartwarming and emotional. Wishing all 6 years well throughout the country. Because, yeah, they're off now and final preparations for their leave insert, which is, what, 2 or 3 weeks' time? Maybe 2.5 weeks' time. Yeah, 2.5 weeks' time. Now, one of the great spectacles of nature is a humpback whale breaching. And we spotted a Twitter photograph overnight, which was put up by the Baltimore, I better get their name right, Sea Safari. Michal is on the line from the Baltimore Sea Safari, and he's responsible for the picture and running the safari, of course. How are you doing, Michal?
Very well, thank you. Very well, very
good.
Well.
Good. Yeah. It is one of the great spectacles, isn't it, Michal?
It is, yeah. It's an amazing spectacle to see when you see him come out of the water like that and head on. Yeah. Fantastic sight.
Yeah, and you're at close enough quarters so you can appreciate the scale of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other day, now we were travelling along, we were just travelling to the west there, and next all of a sudden it just up and breached out of the water. There's, you know, both maybe 50, 60 metres out from the boat. So wow. It was an amazing spectacle, yeah.
And are people ever ready with their cameras, just in case?
The guy that took that was ready, Matthew. Yeah. Matthew Sullivan was the guy that took the video, yeah. He was always ready.
Yeah, always ready, yeah. Matthew. Yeah. How long are you in business down there, Michal?
Since 2007.
And it's a family-run business?
Yeah, did yeah. Yeah, we run rib boats. So we do 3 trips a day. This time of year now, we've been doing mostly about 3 trips a day out.
Yeah. A lovely part of the world, the West Cork coastline.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And even, you know, even the days we don't find weather, the nature is beautiful along us and along the coastline. It's lovely sights.
Yeah.
You know, we go visiting seal colonies as well along the coast.
Lovely. And if you don't see a humpback whale, you might see a fin whale or
well, you'll be hoping to find minke whales and dolphins.
Minke whales, yes.
Yeah.
And that's your job, is to know where to take people to see the wildlife.
You know, you'd work away some of the other boats in the area. So, you know, what people are seeing, we'd always help each other out.
Yeah.
So you get to find and try and locate them, yeah.
And what's the story about this humpback whale now? Is he on his own or is she on her own?
No, there's two in the area, but they're hanging out by themselves, yeah. But there's two in the area. One's kind of hanging a bit smaller further south, but this one is in out of the shallow bays.
Yeah.
Especially down there, just around the just east of Baltimore Harbour there, down towards the Stags, which is just off Towhead near Castle Townsend. So this is the area that's kind of hanging out.
Oh,
forward.
Yeah.
And, we've had, you know, pretty good sightings on and off now since the 1st of May, you know, weather permitting, that we were able to get out. We're finding it in the areas. So
great.
We just left it there about 20 minutes ago, actually, when we were out the second trip of the day there with us. So it was nice.
Any sightings today now, for example?
Yeah, we had it this morning there, bubble net feeding there this morning and travelling.
Right.
And we just had it, what we call bubble net feeding there a while ago, where they dive to the bottom, they swim around in a big circle blowing bubbles, and these bubbles form like a curtain around the fish.
Yeah.
And then they come up through the middle of it, you know, feeding. So it's an amazing spectacle. They're pretty done the last all year with us, August. They range in and out. You know, depends what feed is available. It's, you know, what they'll do, they'll come in, have a look around. There's enough feed to sustain them. They'll stay for a while.
Yeah.
And if not, they just push way back offshore again. Yeah.
And then, so the breaching is part of it, and then the fluke comes up and slaps the water, does it?
Sometimes there they do that, yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the time there, if they're diving, you'll just see if they're doing a deep dive, you'll see the tail fluke come up into the area, you know, which is great because if you can get a photograph of the bottom of the tail fluke or even of the dorsal fin of these humpbacks and you submit them into the agencies like the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, they can match them then to other sightings of where this whale has been seen along the coast and how often it's been seen. And I mean, this one, the one the video was of the other day, has been seen in West Cork waters, you know, over the last 5 years.
It's
back and forth in outlets. So they can tell the frequency where they're seen and how far abroad they've been seen as well.
Yeah, what's the season looking like ahead of you? Is it back to full?
It's heading went out right away anyway, bookings and stuff, you know, every night there we're going to take extra bookings coming in for the summer and stuff. So,
great.
You know, at the moment, you know, there's plenty of bookings and, you know, a lot of foreign visitors at the moment for us, you know.
What's the island off Baltimore?
We've Shurken Island, Cape Clear, there's Hare Island.
Yes, yeah.
All nice places.
It's a beautiful part of the world. You're a lucky man. You appreciate that, don't you, when you get up in the morning?
We do.
You
do,
yeah. Micheál Gurmagat, you're busy. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
That's Micheál Cottrell, Baltimore Sea Safari, down there in West Cork.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, yeah, 51551. My next guest has many titles: radio broadcaster, DJ, podcast host, and of course, best-selling author. And you can call her Annie Mac. You can call her Annie, or you can call her Annie McManus. Isn't that it? That is. What do your folks call you?
They call me Annie.
Annie, right?
They call me Annie. Okay. Yeah, it'd be weird otherwise, I think.
No, but they kind of a pet name for you.
Yeah. Oh, they call me Kneezer.
There you go.
Siblings call me Kneezer. I don't know why.
Why?
But Annie, knee. They call me Knee or Kneezer.
Right. Yes. Nothing to do with your actual knees.
No, thank you.
No, okay. Right. Great to see you. This is the first time in the radio building in RTE.
I love it. I mean, as a radio geek, I really enjoy visiting other radio studios and just seeing what they look like and how they work. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, this would contrast, I'd say, to the studios of BBC Radio 1 because they're all flashing lights and hip and people standing up and all
sorts
of things.
Yeah, so they have hydraulic desks. So you can move the desk up and down according to whether you want to stand or sit. And they have different lighting programs, you know, according to mood or colour. They're pretty fancy.
My word, right?
You need to feed back to the bosses, right? Yeah.
So what were your choices then? You were an evening DJ, right, with predominantly dance music.
Yes.
So were you standing when you did it or sitting down?
I always stood.
right?
Yeah, so I actually had a show on Sunday nights for a while that was much more chill, and I sat for that. It felt right. But for high energy music, I felt like it was, I had more energy in me when I stood. You yes. could hear it in my voice, I think.
Uh-huh.
I learned it all from this other DJ called Zane Lowe, who I used to work for. I used to assist him as a producer. So it wasn't until he came into Radio 1 that they had to get the hydraulic desks in, because he was the first guy to ever stand up.
So everything moves. The whole equipment moves up.
The whole desk. Right. Everything on it moves up and down.
So it's not like those adjustable ones in IKEA. This is the whole thing. There's a lot of technology involved.
Yeah.
Okay, the mess we're in.
Yes.
Is that sort of a nod to PJ Harvey and Thom Yorke?
Yes,
it is. Okay.
Exactly. It's a kind of conflation, I suppose. It's not the exact song title, but I liked it because it's of the era.
And this is your second book.
Yeah.
A heady mix of thrills and heartbreak. I so enjoyed it, says Graham Norton.
There's a lot of people who commented and did that. You know, the quotes that you see on the book covers.
Yes.
A lot of them are people who are Irish who now live in England.
And yes,
I kind of subconsciously targeted them, I think, because I thought hopefully if anyone's going to get this book, I would hope it would be people who have moved away from Ireland and live in London.
And it draws an awful lot on your own experience, although it's not a memoir.
It's definitely not a memoir.
Fictional. Yeah. But there, Orla is the main character, but yeah. A lot of Orla is you.
There's like things that basically it's based on roughly a very formative time in my life when I moved from London over to England.
No, from Dublin over to England.
Sorry, thank
yes.
you, Ray. From Dublin over to London. Thank you. And so I don't remember a lot of that. So I had to reconnect with a lot of people from that time and kind of remember it. And it's kind of inspired by that time.
Yes.
But the joy of fiction is, you know, everyone's completely different. You dramatize it, you make it more mad, more, you embellish it, exaggerate it.
So one of the themes then is being Irish in London.
Yes, totally.
And Orla works in an Irish bar, Fahy's Bar.
Yes.
And we meet Mayo David and Jerry.
Yes.
And these are guys who have been there for years, probably worked on the building sites.
Right.
And their only social interaction is the pub.
Yeah, it's kind of more than a pub for them. It's more like a community centre, you know. And I think I kind of liked the irony of Orla leaving Ireland very much like I did and not looking back. Like, she wanted to go to the Big Smoke. She was starry-eyed. She wanted to, you know, she was obsessed with music and she wanted to go and kind of jump right into the city and everything it brought her. And then she ended up working in this Irish pub. And like I suppose as anyone who leaves their country, you never really think too much about your own sense of national identity until you leave. Like, I didn't consider myself Irish. I just was Irish. And then you leave and you're suddenly reminded that you're Irish everywhere you go. And it's very much like that for her in this bar, because she's surrounded by Irish people. It's in an Irish pub. It's Irish music all day long. But also the kind of, I suppose, the attitude of the older guys who are there is very different than hers, where she isn't that interested in Ireland. She's escaping. She wants to go and see the world. And she's very lucky that she's able to do that by choice. They had to leave Ireland when they were younger. They would have been coming over in the 50s and 60s, post-war. Big families at home to send postal order checks home to. And as you said, like working in the railway lines, you know, laying pipes, all that business.
So they had their rose-tinted glasses on, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a kind of romanticised view, I suppose, of Ireland, the Ireland that they left behind. It's fun. It was fun writing that, and the two very different takes on Ireland and Irishness, you know, according to what generation they were.
You dedicate the book to your two sons, and you say, remember, you're half Irish.
Yeah, it's more like a threat, actually. Don't forget that you're half Irish.
Yeah, sorry, he says, never forget you're half Irish. Yes.
Oh,
you're
God.
Pointing the finger.
They couldn't if they tried. Because, I mean, I dragged them home. No, actually, that's the wrong word. They love coming back here. And it's still home to me. I still call it home. I always will. But we come back on the ferry every summer. We come at Christmas. We come at Easter. We're here all the time.
And your folks are still alive in the family home.
Yes. Same home I was born in.
Dundrum.
Dundrum, yeah. First baby to be born in my housing estate.
Right.
It's my claim to fame.
Wow. That's a big claim to fame.
Yeah. And they're still there.
Because I buy The Guardian every Saturday. Two things that I love about it is the feast, which is the cookery little supplement with it.
And, oh, I like that too.
And this thing they do where they recreate a photograph of somebody. And you were the victim. Sorry. You were the person.
No, it felt like that at the time.
Right. Yeah. So they recreated a picture of you when you were 9 in Marley Park up a tree.
Right.
And you as a 44-year-old woman had to get up the tree for the picture. How was that?
Oh, right. You don't even know the half of it. Like it, that was one of those existential moments where I'd been DJing all weekend and I show up in this forest outside London and there's a photographer there and this set of clothes that's supposed to be exactly the same as the clothes I was wearing as a 9-year-old. Now, bearing in mind, it was a turquoise two-piece that I was wearing as a 9-year-old. It was a pair of chinos and like this sweater top, but they couldn't source the turquoise chinos. So they had to get, they put me in turquoise leggings. Like, and I don't know, any woman listening to this, any woman listening to this, like if you're being shot, sat up a tree, being shot from below, wearing turquoise leggings as a 44-year-old, that's not fun. But anyway, we got through it and it was a nice piece, I suppose.
Yeah, you did well. So which begs the question, you were a tree climber. As
I was.
A 9-year-old girl.
Yeah, I really was.
And a football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a tomboy, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah. I was very much like one of the lads.
Can they use that phrase anymore?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I was very much, I guess, as people would say, you know, you shouldn't define a girl in the way of a boy. Like, yes. I was just a girl who liked playing football and liked climbing trees. And I hung out with a lot of boys, though. I was, you know, all my life, I had a lot of friends that were boys and girls, but I've always been comfortable around boys. I have two big brothers, so I was used to, you know, playing with them a lot.
Yeah. And your brother was in the band.
Yes.
And he had a house in London with his bandmates. And that is part of the book.
Yeah, so there's some bits of real experience that I kind of used for the book from living there. There's a scene where a family of mice are found curled up in the bottom of a packet of cornflakes, which is a direct experience that what happened when I lived there. But yeah, so I mean the band are very different, and it's kind of like, what's cool about writing fiction is you never really base anyone on one person. It's just you just take little bits of people and phrases and gestures and things, and then you kind of build a whole new character out of them, and I really enjoy that aspect of it.
It's like human AI, I suppose. You're scraping your experience and putting it all together. Yeah,
right.
So you've talked about this numerous occasions, but it was a big change from the studio to writing.
And
how many years ago is that now? Is it 4 years ago or more?
I think it was 2021.
Okay, so only all right.
Not
that
too
recently.
Long.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was 2021. God, Ray, I should know that and I don't. But it's been long enough to know exactly how it feels, I suppose, to be a writer and to having dedicated time to it now properly as part of my job. And it's really cool. It's so different, though. You know, I suppose the one thing I miss about radio is that element of connection. Like you are, like it is the essence of connection, isn't it? Doing your job, you're sitting there, you're connecting people, with people and
texts,
voices and
people in front of me.
Totally, yeah, you're right in the middle of the conversation.
No, very lucky.
At all times.
Yes, yeah.
So like I did that mostly with music, but also with conversation. But then when you write, you're just sat at home on your own all day in your own head. So like what I've really enjoyed about writing is getting out there and meeting people and learning from people and, you know, hearing stories from people and being able to put that in my books. And I'm also just getting better at knowing, you know, to make sure that I have other ways of working with teams.
It strikes me that people of your vintage will enjoy this book because, as you said, you didn't remember a lot of it for various reasons.
Yeah,
they may not.
Gone.
And this could sort of fill in the bits, because it was a heady time.
It was. So it's 2001, 2002. That's when the book is set. And it was very interesting going back there in my head and just remembering, like, there was smoke everywhere.
Right.
Obviously, you know, this is pre-cigarette bans, smoke everywhere. This is pre-Me Too. So there's a kind of sense of, I suppose, presumed misogyny in the music industry. It's just how it is. There's also, obviously, no social media. There's phones. There's the Nokia 3310. Mm. People used to play Snake. And like, I don't know if you remember when you could download ringtones on your phone.
Yes,
you know?
I do.
So
yes,
that was a new thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was very much people, when they were in the room, only in the room. They didn't think beyond that. They didn't think how they were going to present their lives to the world. So it was really interesting going back there and just remembering how life was then.
Yeah. And music is a huge part of your life. Each chapter is named after a song.
Yes.
We spotted some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them we didn't.
Yeah.
Like there's Westlife get a nod, do they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All Westlife were huge, huge then. That was a Westlife heyday.
Right. Were you?
No, I was. I mean, no offense to Westlife, but they were not my bag.
Yes.
But what I wanted was to, with the chapter titles, is to really try and use them as a tool to bring people back to those times. And it's very hard to write from a certain year and without kind of constantly reminding people, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of, I thought that was a fun way of doing that, kind of bringing them back. But also the chapter titles, that are based in the Irish pub, Fahey's. Yes. All the music is old. It's all like Planxty and the Dubliners,
right,
and Christy Moore. And that's, I guess, another tool to kind of hopefully bring people into the sense of that pub being a place where time doesn't really exist. It just it stays in the same
nostalgic
place.
And Orla comes in
place.
One of the days and she puts on a Sinead O'Connor CD.
Yeah.
And it's not mentioned in name, but I recognise one of my favourite songs of all time.
No way, Ray. Oh my God, you can play this.
Yeah, I'm going to play a bit of it.
Beautiful.
Any excuse.
Thank you.
So amazing that, isn't it?
Like it's so
her
amazing.
Her voice, just the bareness of it, the emotion, just everything. And then the diddly eye comes in at the end.
Exactly, the diddly eye. Yeah. And that's what, like the book, I suppose, Orla, you know, as a young Irish woman, she's inspired by that because it feels Irish, this song, but it's also kind of outward looking. It's modern, it's contemporary.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
all the owl fellas in the bar are like, what is this?
Do you follow the Eurovision at all?
I watched a bit of it with my mum. I was home last week when it was on.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like theatre.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Another thing just on music, you see HMV is returning to Ireland.
So the taxi driver told me that on the way here. Yeah. I couldn't
That's
believe
big news
that.
Too, isn't
so
it?
What are they going to sell? Vinyl, obviously, but are CDs still a thing?
I have it in my head if you want to know.
Go on.
5,000 albums, 5,500 CDs.
What format? So albums?
No, vinyl albums. 5,000 vinyl albums, 5,500 CDs, 3,000 pop culture items. So I was asking them upstairs, what's that? They're saying strange things and stuff like that, mugs and...
Okay, t-shirts and
little,
caps.
Little
and
figurines, all that. No,
phone
t-shirts.
Holders.
The, 1,000 t-shirts specified on the front of the Irish Times. So there you go. Now, here's a quick question because we'll come back to you in a minute. But Ellen, who does our social media, asked you this question earlier on.
Mm.
A song... that you wish you were hearing for the first time again.
Yeah. Okay, so the song I chose is by Daft Punk and it's quite obscure and I'm sorry about that. It's not that obscure. It's called Burning. And the reason why is because when I heard this song for the first time, I was on the dance floor of Shine Nightclub in Belfast, which is where I really discovered clubbing and club culture.
You were in university there.
In university in Queens, yeah. And I didn't know what the song was called. I just called it the Zip Song because there's a sound in the song that sounds like a zip going up and down all the way through.
Okay.
And the DJ used to play it every week. And then when I found, there it is. Yeah. I hear the zip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to just love it so much. And it just brings me back to that feeling of, you know, being on a dance floor, making all these new friends, discovering this new music. And it just felt so exciting. I had bleach blonde, really crop hair, big nose ring.
I thought I was mad.
The bee's knees. Big wide jeans, really, really wide jeans. I'm cringing now thinking about it, but it was fun times.
Yeah, Burning Daft Punk.
Yeah.
So 44 and you're still DJing. It's sort of a sideline now.
I thought I'd give up when I was 40, but it's still happening. It's more than a sideline, actually. It's kind of become a big, big part of what I do, again, because of... I've rearranged how I do it a little bit, I suppose.
In what way? You sit down now, do you?
No, no. Not quite. But I actually DJ for longer, but I had issues with club culture and the fact the clubs opened at a certain time and closed at a certain time. And me, as normally would be the headline DJ, would be playing 1 or 2 in the morning. And that was not amenable to my life and having young
kids.
Two
children, yeah.
So I made up a club night which started at 7 and ended at midnight. It's called Before Midnight. And since I've been doing it last year, it's just been so brilliant. And it sells out really quick. And we're doing it all over the UK and Ireland. Well, in Dublin and in Belfast. We need to do more in Ireland. But it's just been so brilliant.
Is it nostalgia?
No, it's me. It's me playing for 4 hours.
Yeah, but it is stuff like that from the early noughties.
Yeah, I play that stuff, but I also play new stuff. So okay. It's kind of like it's really everything and anything. And I've never felt so free as a DJ, and I can be really indulgent and play all sorts of stuff I've never really been able to play in the past because I've always had to play kind of a headline set. So this is nice. The crowd are older, but it's basically for anyone who needs sleep. People who've got a Saturday job, people who need to study. A lot. You get a lot of women there, a lot of parents with young kids. You get different generations. I had a grandmother, a mother and a daughter all coming to my Manchester show. They're
three
brilliant.
Generations. Yeah, where would you get it?
Amazing. Honestly. It's
so
it's
so do you have to do,
it felt like this rebirth.
Do you have to do Sweet Caroline then at the end?
No.
hands touch. You do, you
it's
do.
Not,
do.
It's not far off that though. I do like the last half hour is full wedding. Like
is
we
it?
We go,
go on,
full
give us a...
wedding. We play like the Communards.
Yes,
we play
don't leave me
Sylvester.
This way. Yeah, you make me feel.
We play Entrance, Set You Free. You know,
right,
that,
yeah,
like
yeah,
all
yeah.
that, all yeah, that yeah. ABBA, bit of ABBA.
Right.
It's not. There's, it's not about being cool.
Right.
But it's just about what feels right in the night.
Brilliant.
And, it's very fun.
So you have a podcast as well, Change. And when Emily rang you yesterday, Louis Theroux had just left your house. It is Theroux, not Theroux.
It's Theroux, yeah,
yeah
Theroux,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Louis Theroux had just left the house, yeah. So I've got a little office in the garden and he came over and he's actually local to me. And yeah, we recorded an episode of Changes, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He was a nice guy. It was kind of strange because he walked in and you know the way you see him on telly and he goes into people's houses and he starts picking things up. And I kind of cleaned the kitchen beforehand thinking, what's it, you know, seeing it through Louis Theroux's eyes. But he didn't do any of that. He
was tall man.
Very tall.
Yeah.
Very, very intelligent.
Yes.
And it was quite intimidating interviewing him at first, but then it was totally fine. He was very nice.
He doesn't just give you an answer. He thinks about it first, I would imagine.
Yeah. Very considered.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But also like, so, you know, there's, he knows exactly what he's doing. You know, he's only going to give you what he wants to give you. You know, he's
not. You're not going to catch him out.
You're not going to catch him. God, not
no.
a chance.
You're not going to get something he never said before.
Exactly.
Or some big revelation.
Yeah.
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 That's a problem, isn't it, in the world we live in now?
Yeah.
Everyone's so guarded. There was all those brilliant moments, say, on the Late Late Show years ago. And even on radio and Parkinson even got some stuff, although it was pre-recorded. He would have got some brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
I think there's such a consciousness, I suppose, of how things spread as well. You know, radio, since I've been doing it, and I used to come in my pyjamas.
Right.
Now there's cameras everywhere. There's social media. Like, it's not just about this conversation. This conversation will live in other formats, in other places.
Yes, yeah.
And I suppose people are conscious of that and of just how easy it is to make anything you say and take it out of context and make it clickbait.
Yeah, did you celebrate the coronation?
Sorry, I didn't, actually. Talking about clickbait. No, where was I at the coronation? I was in Washington, D.C. playing a wedding.
Right.
Weirdly, someone flew me over there to play a wedding.
I think you decided you'd be out of the country on the day, did you?
I saw the day. It was like, yes.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that, thank you.
$100, yeah, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll play Sweet Caroline if I have to. Yeah. So you were offered an MBE.
Oh, God.
Yes. Weren't you?
Yeah, I forgot I said this and now I'm going to be asked about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I was offered an MBE last summer it was.
Right.
When I was in Ireland on my holidays, actually. I was in West Cork.
Which is a sort of an honour. We don't have an honours list in this country, which I think we should have.
Mm. I think you should too. I think it would be very lovely, actually.
Yes.
Especially when you take that context of the kind of hierarchical system that is awarding it. You know, it's kind of, if it was an honour system that was voted by the people or, you know, but in a democratic way or something.
If it was transparent and uncorruptible,
it would be lovely.
Yeah.
You know,
so
wouldn't
it
though?
Just to recognise people who do some great work.
And there's lovely aspects of the honour system in the UK. You know, they honour, there's so many people who you won't have heard of that get honours, you know, people who do incredible work for charity and all of that. But yeah, I thought about it and...
So what happens? Do you get a phone call or a letter or
email? I got an email from the Foreign Commonwealth Affair. I can't remember what it's, some big long fancy name.
And they say, hello, Annie.
I can't remember. They just sent, it was quite a kind of well-worded email and says, you know, this, we would, they would like to award you with this. Would you consider accepting it? So it wasn't like you've been awarded. I think they check to see whether you would. And then you say, yes, I would accept this.
Right.
And then you get the official thingamy, Bob.
So
whatever
how
it is.
Did the chats go? Did you say have a chat with your parents about it?
Yeah. I had a chat with my mom. I had a chat with my big brother. Had a chat with a couple of friends. Had a chat with Google, had a look on there and just looked, just, it's always good to kind of see what people have done in the past, you know, and mostly it was just my own instinct. I think you get to a certain point in life where you just have to trust yourself. Mm. And my instinct at the start was always to say no, but I just wanted to say, have an educated, feel really good about saying no.
And you don't have to give it an excuse. You just say no.
Yeah, just said no. Well, I did. I was very like, really, thanks. It was very nice of you to offer, but I can't do that while the language is what it is with regards to empire. It doesn't sit comfortably with me.
Yeah.
And if you ever think about changing the system of your honours, come back.
Yes.
I'll be here.
Oh, did you say that?
Oh, yeah. I've no problem. I'm well up for getting an award,
yeah.
But it's just the system around it and behind it that I don't necessarily feel comfortable with.
Like watching the coronation, because it was on, it was just passing through the room. Like it does look a bit, it looks dafter now, you know. I
mean, it's so funny. It's so funny when you live in England and you have the Irish perspective of it, because it's just gas.
Yeah.
I love looking at Irish Twitter when stuff like that happens, because it really gives you good perspective on it. Because yeah, England goes mad for it. Even people you think are, really, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna adorn this thing with diamonds from, the Commonwealth, whatever. You could say they were pillaged, maybe not. And we're going to put it on your head. Now, it's going to be very uncomfortable. It's going to weigh 2 kilograms.
We're going to wedge it on your head.
You may not be able to stand up, but it's all good. You will be king. Long live the king.
It is mad seeing it. It's so archaic, the whole thing. It felt like a trip back in time.
A big fan of Annie. Used to listen to her shows on internet cafe, in an internet cafe in Cork in the mid-2000s.
Oh,
was so proud
you.
To hear an Irish voice on the BBC.
Aww.
But we have a great tradition, haven't we, of Irish voices.
Good old Terry.
Yeah.
Graham, before he left.
Why do the Irish do so well over there? That is a good question, isn't it?
It's interesting, actually. Yeah. I think... I don't know. I think my experience with the BBC is they like accents. They, there's quite a consciousness there that not everyone can have that received pronunciation. Hello. Look, they need to represent an entire population. And I think that was a part of me maybe getting a show, was because I sounded different.
Yeah.
So I think that did help me, actually, having an Irish accent.
Were you a woman being a sort of a club DJ type person? That was still, you were still in the minority, weren't you?
Very much.
Right.
Yeah, very much.
The minority of one or maybe two.
I guess it's different in different genres. Like there's a lot more female DJs in techno in that genre. But it certainly in my world, there was a handful.
Yeah.
A handful. And with regards to kind of festival lineups and that kind of thing, be a handful of females who would be headlining or in those top tiers.
You see, there is we are different, men and women. Yeah, we are different. But we're drawn towards technology. And I know that's a generalisation.
Yeah.
But
careful, Ray. That is a generalisation. Huge.
But we, like, men are drawn, that's the sheds.
They're like fiddling with
exactly,
things.
Don't they? Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, that's why... the way it happened with men and DJing, because it's the technology.
See, this is something I've thought about so much, but I think that you cannot just put aside gender conditioning. When girls and boys are small, boys are encouraged to build things and do trains, and girls are given dolls and, makeup.
No, there's a huge part of that.
Like if you're a girl and you had a dad who brought you into the garage as a young one and taught you how to change things, and of course you'd be technical.
So much of it is
kind of unconscious conditioning, I think. Yeah.
But our brains are built differently.
Oh God, Ray.
They are, Annie. Like, come on. Do you want to have a debate here now?
Yes, I'm mad for it.
I've two books at home.
Really?
Yeah. No.
So biologically.
Biologically, yes.
Men's brains are different than women's.
Say for example, the area that deals with empathy is bigger in the female brain than it is in the male brain.
Yeah.
So that's just what I can remember from the book.
And socializing, women seem to be better at. That's for sure.
Yeah, and young girls play differently.
Mm.
Disregarding, whether it's with dolls or whatever.
I was up the tree.
Yeah, no, but there you go. So anyway,
I guess there's exceptions to every rule.
Yes, there are. She's the main reason I'm going to Forbidden Fruit this summer. Annie Mac.
Oh, brilliant.
There you go. Please ask Annie, would she let her children get into the media?
The media. I would, but I think what will happen with my kids is, an AbFab, Safi. Yeah, I think my kids will end up being accountants. Yeah. They've got a dad who makes, rap and reggae music.
His name's Tom T,
but his kind of production name is Toddler T.
Toddler T.
Toddler T. It's like a reggae thing.
So they have Annie Mac and Toddler T.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Ludicrous.
As parents.
So they're obviously going to be accountants and disown us at the earliest opportunity.
But be very aware of their Irish roots.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, that's a must.
So you're launching the book tonight in Dublin.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. I'm over here. I'm going to have a little bit of a knees up and get some people out and have a few drinks. And there's three chapters of the book are set in Dublin. It feels right to come here and do that. It means a lot to me as well to do that. So
because Orla returns home to visit her parents.
She goes home for Christmas.
There's a very interesting storyline there with the dad and the mum and all that sort of thing. Mike wants to know the name of the Sinead O'Connor song.
Something on your grave.
Stretched on your grave.
Stretched
on your grave.
Stretched on your grave.
Will we play a bit more of that and say goodbye?
So beautiful.
Annie Mack, thank you so much.
Right, thank you. Thank you for reading the book.
No, I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
I was sort of grown up because I'm slightly older than you.
Yeah.
So I was all grown up at that stage.
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing the heady stuff, but I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Mess We're In is the Annie McManus book, available now in all good bookshops. Anish Toshin and the Prief Skelton and Oak Tilla Maura de Wallish. Good morning, thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Still good news coming in. Taking our two beloved little grandchildren, Shay and Anya, to Fota on Saturday. Can't wait. That's Granda Paul and Nana Sheila. And we're en route to Clonakilty. Oh, I'm jealous. For Emma and John's wedding. We have Tig, one of the page boys, with us. He's very excited for his auntie Emma's wedding. The sun is out. It's going to be a great weekend. And it's a lovely part of the country. We were talking about West Cork already. I put a few remaining grass seeds in a glass with a little water a few days ago. Today, what a surprise. A single new green blade of grass had been born. Wonderful, says Bernie. Look, the little things. From a humpback whale breaching the water down in West Cork to a little blade of grass in Bernie's jar. All good stuff. 51551RadRTE.ie. We have two quizzers standing by for our Who Done It quiz. Yep, and there is a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two adults and two children in a lodge at Fota Island Resort, nestled at the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery and just 8 miles from Cork City. Pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer with Fota Island Resort. FotaIsland.ie. And they have 5-star, 2, 3 and 4 bedroom self-catering lodges, perfect for families, groups of friends or fellow golfers. Hello, Noreen. Hello, Noreen. Hello, Noreen. Hello. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll sort it out. Oh, no, we can do it. I'm fine. Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
How are you doing? All right, Ray?
Good, good, good. Noreen left us, so I have Anthony and I have Andrew on the other line. Anthony, where are you?
I'm in Cabra, 7.
Right. What are you up to today?
I'm doing a bit of gardening and keeping the butterflies off my cabbages.
Right. So they eat big holes, do they?
They do, and there's a few big holes, and the cabbages are small at the moment. There's a few big holes. There's been a ton of cabbage patch or cabbage whites all over them.
Yeah. What else have you got in your garden, Anthony?
I've carrots, onions, and a few, but I have lettuces. That's about it.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Is the sun shining out in Cabra?
Well, it's a bit cloudy now at the moment, but it was shining earlier. And I started propagating
Go on. No, go on.
I bought a propagator yesterday, and I'm after planting about 150 pepper seeds from the peppers themselves.
Right.
Let's hope they come on.
What's a propagator?
It's like a mini greenhouse. It's an electric thing that you put a load of seeds in. When you put the seeds in the pots and they germinate, there's heat coming through it. Because you plug it in and it's electric and it works like a sun, but it's not a sun.
And is it a structure? Is it a lamp or is it a tunnel or what is it?
No, it's like a little... It's like a baking tray with a lid on top.
Oh, I see. And yeah, yeah. So it speeds up the process, is that it?
Yeah, it speeds up the process. An artificial sun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
S-U-N, yeah.
So, yeah, as opposed to an S-O-N.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, the way things are going, you'll be able to buy an artificial sun very shortly, S-O-N. The propagator, where did you get it? Where do you buy a propagator?
I got it in... B&Q,
right.
25 euros, yeah, so it'll do the trick. I mean, peppers have nearly doubled in price,
yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen them in the supermarkets, but sometimes they don't even have them, but let's hope this works out.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is, I find because they've travelled so far, a lot of the peppers, they're sort of tasteless by the time they get to your dinner
they
table.
They can be as squidgy as well, that's exactly it.
So you're growing your own?
I'm trying to grow them. I've never done it before, but
well, look
touch
at
wood, as they say.
Look at the mats, Anthony. Like, if that cost you, set you back, what, 20-odd euro?
25 euros, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure. If you got, what, 20 or 30 peppers out of that, your quid's in, your...
happy days. Yeah.
You're in profit. You're in profit, yeah. Okay.
That's it.
You're up against Andrew. How are you doing, Andrew?
Hey, Ray. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Anthony versus Andrew. Where are you, Andrew?
I'm in Mount Marion in County Dublin.
Right. Just up the road.
We could shout at you.
What are you up to today?
I'm just in my mother's house having tea and cake with my sister, my mum and my aunt.
Nice. And everybody's okay, are they?
Everybody's in top form, yeah. We're all off to a family reunion on the weekend.
Oh, great. Is there any particular celebration or is it just a reunion?
We have them every 5 years. This one's in Listing Varna this year.
Nice.
Very nice.
And the cake, is the cake homemade or what sort of cake is it?
My sister Tara made it in her Camp Hill day service.
Right. Okay, great.
Yeah,
great.
Very nice.
Lovely, yeah.
Lovely.
So is it lemon drizzle? Is it Victoria sponge?
Victoria sponge.
I like a bit of Victoria
sponge. Not too biscuity this time.
Yes, right, okay. A biscuity Victoria sponge. Okay. So that's a nice family reunion in Listing Varna this weekend.
It is.
Now, so lads, three questions each. I give you the category and then you tell me if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Anthony in Cabra and Andrew in Mount Marion. Here we go.
Good luck, Andrew.
Good luck, Anthony.
Right, there you go.
Thank you.
Music, it is, Anthony, for you. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Okay. So
yeah,
for two, Anthony, who is this? Well,
Ariana Grande.
It is Ariana Grande. No tears left to cry. Well done, Anthony. 2 points for that. Okay, Andrew. You've helped there with this one, so it's music. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Okay, who is this for 2 points? Well,
oh God, having a clue.
Fire out a name there. No, nothing's coming to you. No.
No idea.
No, yeah. Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa. Yeah, there you go. Levitating. Okay, early days, Andrew, don't fret. Next category, Oscar-winning speeches. Anthony, Oscar-winning speeches. How do you figure you are on that? Do you want a clue or not?
I think the most famous one is Gwyneth Paltrow. I'll take a clue.
You'll take a clue, okay. She once played Veronica Guerin. She once played Veronica Guerin in a movie. Who is this in an Oscar-winning speech for 1 point?
Those of us in the industry who are still foolishly clinging to the idea that that female films with women at the centre are niche experiences. They are not. Audiences want to see them, and in fact, they earn money. So...
Who's that?
It's Kate Blanchett.
It is Kate Blanchett. Well done. You're on fire, Anthony. She won Best Actress for her role in Blue Jasmine in 2013.
Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine. Well done. Okay, you're on three. 1 point for that because we gave you a clue. Now, Andrew, what do you want to do?
No clue.
Oscar-winning speeches.
No clue.
Okay, who is making this speech for 2 points?
Why do you come to the Academy Awards when the world is in such turmoil? Because art is important, and I am standing here in front of my mother and my daughter. And my whole life I've wanted to make my mother proud. And now I want to make my daughter proud.
Who's that?
Is it Nicole Kidman?
It is Nicole Kidman, yes. Well done, you're back in the game. Back in the game, Andrew. So it's 2-3. Now, let's do the maths for you, Anthony, although you've probably done them already yourself. If you go for a clue and get it right, you will be on 4. And then Andrew can go without a clue, and if he gets it right, he's on 4-2, takes it to a tiebreak. If you, however, go with no clue and get it right, Andrew can't catch you. So what do you want to do?
Sorry, what is the category, please?
Oh, sorry, that's well done, Anthony. Yes, yes. Irish presenters.
I'll take a clue, please.
You'll take a clue, okay. Okay, he rose to fame as a weatherman on TV3. So, for 1 point, who is this?
Before we continue with tonight's show, a little bit of personal news. Because after, 7 years and nearly 9 months, this is my last 6 o'clock show. And by the way, it's not one of these situations where I'm being escorted to the door when the show is over. I've known about this for about a month.
Who's that?
Is it Kinger, Martin King?
It is Kinger, Martin King, and you get a point. So you've answered all your questions correctly, and you're on 4 points. Andrew, now yeah. If you go without a clue and get it right, we're into a tiebreak situation. Interesting. So
yeah.
I suppose that's what you're going to do, is it? Go without a clue.
Pressure, no clue, yeah.
No clue. Irish presenters, please. For 2 points and to take us to a tiebreak situation. Who is this, Andrew?
Trad music is a language and a music that we've had long before X Factor and All-Ireland talent shows. And I asked the audience last Friday, should we play a bit of trad music? Because it is the heartbed of this country. And 400 or 500 texts came in saying yeah, and 2 texts said no. So we blasted out the Maids of Castlebar. Driving a car in the morning, it's hard enough going to work. Do you know, keep the heads. I'm trying to keep the heads positive.
Who's that?
And I seen Hector Hookagon.
It is Hector Hookagon talking about when he was on 2FM, and you get 2 points. You're on 4.
Woo-hoo.
Anthony, you're on 4. So we're in a tiebreak situation. We asked you both a question before you went on air. Whoever answered closest to the correct answer will be today's winner. I'm going to repeat the question now for our listeners at home. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to walk from Buncrana in County Donegal to Sligo Town? So, Anthony, what did you say?
26.
26 hours, that's 26 hours. Okay, it's 135 kilometres. And Andrew, what did you say?
I think I said 14 hours and 32 minutes.
14 hours and 32 minutes, yes, that's what you said. The correct answer is 27 hours. Which means, yes.
Burnt.
Burnt, yes. Andrew,
well done, Anthony.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, Andrew.
Lads, that was a really good competition, lads. Really good competition.
Cheers.
But unfortunately, we can only have one winner. Anthony, you're today's winner. Andrew, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. Enjoy the family reunion in Listenvarn at the weekend and lovely talking
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Andrew.
Enjoy your break, Anthony.
There you go.
I will. Thanks. Sorry about that, Andrew. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Anthony, well done. So you're off.
Okay, thanks.
2 adults, 2 children down to Photo Island, a 5-star lodge. Loads of things to do down there. You can go to photoisland.ie to see what's in store for you. And good luck with the propagator and the peppers and all that. And great talking to you. Thanks, Anthony. Well
you
done.
Too. Thanks very much.
See you
much.
Now. Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551. We've time for a little bit of this. Stormzy and Crown on RTE Radio 1. And joined now by the authors of a new book for young adults called Cursed Crown. That's why we play that, you see. It's a sequel to Twin Crowns, which was a runaway success. There are two Catherines, Catherine Doyle and Catherine Webber. They're best friends. They're also sister-in-laws. And the book is about two sisters separated at birth. A theme is emerging here. And the first Catherine is called Cat.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're from Connemara?
Barna.
On the fringes of Connemara.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Oh, look at that. And the second Catherine is called Katie. And you're from California.
Yes. Currently based in London. Don't hold it against me. Ireland. I love coming to Ireland, though.
Oh my God. She's embarrassing you already. You're going, what? So Cursed Crowns is the second, it's sequel to Twin Crowns. And it says at the start of it, break the ice to free the curse, kill one twin to save another.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dark and exciting.
Dark and exciting. as is your story. So we have to get to the bottom of this because it's mad stuff. So you're with the same agent.
Yes.
Yes, Katie. And you met at some sort of soiree, was that it?
Yes, exactly. Before I'd ever met Kat, I'd read her book and I thought she was a brilliant writer. And then I met her at a party and basically just wanted to immediately befriend her. And our friendship kind of escalated to the point that I decided I wanted to introduce her to my brother. And then they got engaged. So all delightful. And then we decided to write this book together. Now it's become, you know, a bestseller in multiple countries. And so it's worked out pretty well, I think.
That's the whole story. She's not Irish, obviously.
She's never this brief. It's crazy. That's pretty basically it. Katie and I write independently our own sort of kids' books, and we met, and it was that thing when you meet someone in your kind of 20s and you're like, oh my gosh, like a soul friend.
Yeah.
The next logical step for me was to marry her brother.
Of course.
Obviously, I like just escalating it straight away. And then during the pandemic, really, Katie called me up and we both had other deadlines, as we always do. And she said, I really want to write something fun and uplifting that's going to make people laugh, but it's going to make us laugh. And, you know, we share a lot of the same taste. We love like Princess Bride, we love kind of a lot of comedy, romance, sweeping adventure. And so once we started sort of spitballing back and forth, it just sort of became the most fun ever planning this book.
So there's twin sisters separated at birth.
Yes.
Rose is the lovely pink princess type person.
Yes.
Stereotypical.
Yeah.
And then Wren is a witch.
Yes.
Okay, who writes who?
So I actually write the witch, the cynical.
Right. Okay.
Wren is a little bit more cynical and sarcastic. She's the twin that Rose, nobody knows about. She's sort of waiting in the wings to sneak back in and steal Rose's life.
Okay.
And she's, so she's kind of an outlaw in a way, and is kind of, a little bit more cynical and sarcastic, which lends, I think, you'll see Katie's more idealistic. And
we knew quite pretty much from the start, we knew we wanted a princess and a witch, and just immediately Kat was like, well, I'll write the witch, and I was like, and I'll write the princess. And it was really fun leaning into a lot of the tropes, as you say, you know, kind of a cliche of that, like, pink princess, and she's quite spoiled, and you know, she has a big journey throughout, you know, both emotionally and quite literally. But I think what was so nice about having two distinct perspectives is we were able to make the characters feel really distinct, and ideally we want like readers to come to it and to be able to connect with one character or the other. A lot of time in young adult fiction, you'll kind of have like, you know, a character who's really good at fighting and, you know, kind of maybe like a Katniss from Hunger Games, and Wren is more like that. But we also wanted to show like, you know, the strength and kind of like a, you know, feminine strength. Maybe the Rose kind of shows a little bit more.
And the dialogue between the two characters, there's a lovely spark there.
Yes. So, I mean, this isn't giving too much away, but in Twin Crowns, Rose and Wren, they do meet eventually after Wren steals Rose's life, and they have this sort of big showdown, if you will. And we got to write that together. We wrote a lot of it separately because of the pandemic, but we happened to be together during that scene. So we method acted our way. We were yelling at each other across the table and really getting into the mind of these sisters.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was, I think, the most fun.
And it's
obviously
a joy to write.
Fantasy, fiction, because you told your story in 30 seconds flat. I want to go back and tease it out a little bit. Okay.
She's never done that before. Yeah, it's wild. I know.
Okay. You know, wanted to make sure we all knew where we were at.
Setting the scene.
So you befriended each other at a soiree. Yeah. We got there, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you had this brother, Jack.
Yes.
Who you're very fond of.
Yes, we're very close.
Protective of.
Yo, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So you had certain notions about the person he should marry.
Oh, of course. And, you know, and Kat and I had actually started as a joke. We were on a writing retreat together and she was like, oh, your brother's so cute. And I was like, she was like, what if we dated? And I laughed, but I was like, haha, I love this idea.
It was never a joke to me, Ray. That was called Inception.
And it worked out. So, you know, I knew Kat very well. I've also met her whole family, who I adored. And, you know, I felt like I had pre-vetted everyone.
So you did a recce.
Oh, absolutely.
It was not subtle. It was not subtle at all. My mom was like, who is this girl? Why is she interviewing us all?
No, and it worked out. So, you know, and of course, I think the thing is to... Oh, go ahead.
No. What I'm intrigued by is, like, it's high risk strategy here, isn't it? Because if it all went belly up, pear-shaped, then you have your writing partner.
Wow.
And you've fallen out.
Well, Oh, yeah, I did.
We hadn't written together
quite
yet.
Yeah,
we did,
okay.
But also, crucially, both Jack and Kat are both good humans. I knew neither of them would do something to, like, purposefully hurt the other one. So I was like, if things fizzle out or it doesn't work out, you know, it'll be okay. I really trusted in both of the goodness of their hearts.
We didn't start writing together until Jack and I were engaged.
Yeah.
So okay.
There was some insurance there, and then we thought, we'll do the book. Yeah,
so I'm just, sorry, it is intriguing, you know, from somebody looking in. So you had this notion, you met her, you befriended her, lovely person, lovely human. You had this other human. human in your life, your brother, and you thought they might make a match.
Yes.
Okay. So how
and also my brother was living in California at the time.
How do you broach that? What do you say?
Okay, so I was in London for work and a work trip. Jack was visiting Katie from California, also in London. We all went for drinks. It went terribly.
I was actively mad at my brother. I was like, I introduced you to this amazing person and he just got a bit shy and awkward.
He was just really nervous and quiet. Okay. I found it endearing, actually. Oh. I reached out to him and then we really hit it off from that way. And then we...
Did you know that Katie, you know, had thought this through?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was like, what if you get married and have babies? It'll be amazing. Yeah. It felt high risk to me too, Ray. It still feels high risk to me and we're married. But I think we never put any pressure on ourselves. We were really just having fun. And Jack is like the most laid back person ever. So it was just kind of fun. And then we all met up in sort of France. And then we did long distance for 2 years. And looking back, it definitely sounds crazier than what it felt like at the time.
Right.
But
okay.
I don't think we ever put too much pressure on ourselves until he moved to Ireland.
And I'd say the wedding speeches were good, were they?
Katie referred to herself correctly as the architect of the wedding.
Right. I was very, very smug. It felt like just this culmination. I was like, I'm so happy. Two of the people I love most in the world and I have brought them together.
That was exactly what it was like.
Kat and I are very entangled now. We were like, you know what? We were already best friends. Now we're family. Now let's be writing partners and just be, you know, super entangled.
Right. There's no other level, I think.
I really do hope it works out for both.
It is working out.
Because I'm fascinated by this, Will. I'm intrigued by the effect that TikTok has had on book sales.
Yeah.
And your sort of testament to how successful it's been.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok embraced Twin Crowns and Curse Crowns in a big way. And it's incredible. Like every day there's loads more videos going up of people reading it and reacting to it and loving it. It's been really special.
So how does it work? Do people do reviews or what?
All sorts. People will do, you know, they'll do unboxing, showing themselves opening the book. They will say, here is a sped up version of me. I'm reading Twin Crowns all day. And they just, you know, do a whole video showing themselves reading it. They do, you know, costumes.
Hold on. Sorry. You'll have to stop there. So people watch videos of people reading books.
Yes.
Are they actually reading it out loud?
No, they'll do
it's like a montage.
A montage of them reading it.
In the afternoon or something reading.
Them pouring their tea, them opening the book, and then they'll say 2 hours later, now I'm on page. And they will literally track their reading progress. Because it's this huge
And people
book.
Watch that.
People watch it.
Oh, yeah. And they'll dress up as the princess or the witch. They'll say their favorite quotes.
I can understand that.
Or they do what I love, and they'll do, some people do like a montage of like other existing kind of artwork or video stills, and they'll be like, these are the vibes of Twin Crowns and Cursed Crowns, and they'll put them to music.
They do a sort of a mood board.
Exactly.
Right. Or even a short film.
And is there fan fiction then?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of fan art. We get a lot
Not
of fan art. We
right.
love fan art. I haven't seen fan fiction.
Right. That's coming, I suppose.
Might already be about.
So then, because I noticed in the one of the bookshops I go into at the weekend that they have a TikTok stand. These are all books that are big on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, have you any idea of how it has increased your sales? Like, is it like 10 times, 20 times, or?
I mean, I'd love to think it was 100. It's really hard to quantify. We know that it does very well. It's very big on TikTok, particularly in the UK. It's a big, both books are big bestsellers in the UK. We're sure that that's definitely part of it. Okay. We throw a lot of coronation balls as launches, and they have huge turnout. They sell out straight away, and that's kind of a big feature.
And I think it's because people want to, you know, a lot of our readers want to feel like pretend they're a princess or pretend they're a magical witch. You know, we're really tapping into that kind of wish fulfillment. Like, you know, you remember when you loved Disney movies when you were younger? Well, like, even if you're like a teenager now or in your 20s or, you know, older, you know, we're trying to capture some of that feeling in the book and in the events.
Cursed Crowns, Sisters United, A Kingdom Divided. Catherine Doyle and Catherine Webber, or Kat and Katie, thank you very much. And good luck with the book. And great to see and hear your story.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow with Shay Byrne, and I'm back on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. Press the button there.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.